Prepare to be captivated by the business story of the week, hosted by me, Shaheen Shan. Join us on a journey through the twists and turns of entrepreneurial triumphs and setbacks. Immerse yourself in the narrative and witness the magic that turns dreams into reality. This is Business Story of the Week.
And welcome back, folks. Welcome back to Business Story of the Week. My name is Joshua. I am your co-host. And today, like we always do in all these other episodes, we bring you inspiring leaders, inspiring, people who are bringing change, not just into business, but also in the world. Alana is a change leadership expert, speaker, author, and consultant who loves helping people navigate change. She is the author of What's Your Catalyst? The Power of Managed Change. With over 25 years of cross-functional leadership and training experience, she empowers individuals, professionals to excel and thrive in diverse environments. Alana's dynamic keynote presentations and coaching sessions inspire resilience, empathy, and inclusive leadership, earning her acclaim as a leading advocate for women and diversity. And today she is going to show us what it takes and teach us what it takes to empower those kinds of change. Alana, I'm excited to have you here. Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Fantastic. Alana, I always, first of all, for our audience and listeners out there, depending on when you are a part of the world or if you are speaking to Alana's mother, her name is pronounced either Alana or Elena. Am I correct?
Yes.
So for today, Alana, you are known as the leading change, the Miss Engineer way. Leading change, the Miss Engineer way. And that is your branding. Your approach to change leadership is branded as such. Your journey from being a field engineer, of course, this comes from your journey to being a field engineer to a project manager. And now your experience in the energy industry, how were you able to combine all of this? And can you share any pivotal moments, maybe in your childhood perhaps as well, and maybe stories from your family, any pivotal moments and experiences that sparked this passion to empowering others to lead change, especially in the face of diversity?
Well, this really starts when we talk about where did it pick up? I moved around a lot as a child, and so I had to learn to adapt to my environments very quickly. And when I say moved a lot, not like two or three times, I mean, by the time I was in the ninth grade, I had gone to 13 schools. Mm-hmm. And so those were in and around the greater Houston area, lived in New Hampshire, lived in Seattle. So there was a lot of change in my upbringing. And so I learned to adapt to change as part of my, mode of survival. And then when I got into college, it helped serve me well to be able to, we have to adapt to change in a changing environment in college. But it was actually while I was in college that I began to learn how I learn and kind of put together at that point, I was working very intently on an engineering degree. So there was quite a bit of rigor and quite a bit of intensity and critical thinking involved. But I was also that engineer that really wanted to bring, together my group of engineering friends and colleagues together to serve the greater purpose, to help build a bridge for the Girl Scout troop nearby. So I began to see I began to see and lean into some other strengths that weren't just engineering, and they were really involved around getting people to collectively work together. And so what I help organizations do is just that, is to get people to work together to not only adapt to change, the changing environment, the changing market, but also to lead change, to be the ones that say, this is who we want to be, and these are the steps that we are willing to take, whether that be a digital transformation and how they evolve their systems. It's kind of where my change leadership started. But then, and also how we change and adapt our cultures to be more effective and more client-facing.
And I remember you mentioning this in one of your videos. You said, be the dream, Right? Be the dream too. So you can enact that dream, right? And because that change really starts with you. And we all know how terrified people are of changing, much less organizations also, because why fix what isn't broken, right? But we all know that part of changing is inevitable, and having that kind of change mindset, and not only just the mindset, but the leadership to guide you through that change, is very important in such a quickly changing environment, right? It's faster now. In the 25 years experience that you have you experienced, would you agree that it's much faster now, the change and the trends? And what are some trends that you are seeing that didn't exist before and now are the biggest challenge and obstacles for organizations?
Wow. So first and foremost, the rate of change has certainly accelerated. When I first moved into project management and I was doing, IT project management on the software side, operations facing. So it was really leveraging my understanding of operations, the ability to, create a full life cycle project plan and to implement that. But more importantly, on the side of adoption. So when you get people to accept this new system or this new process, this is the way we're going to do, old way, new way. And I found out very early on in my career about the emotions of change and how you have to help people with that. And now, to your point, to your question, the rapid rate of change, the emotions around change are constant. They're confusing and they're complicated. I mean, sure, we want a new iPhone when the new iPhone comes out, but what's it going to do different? How is it going to change our life and our world? Because all of these things become so embedded. So yes, there's a high rate of change. There is there's still the same emotions that we have around change. If it's one, if it's many, and then we have to process even more emotions to get more people in line with it.
And that's always a difficult part, isn't it? Like, adapt or perish, right? It's much more difficult, actually, if you don't change whatsoever. And you are putting yourself out there, technically, for these teams, for these organizations, and teaching them to push through that change, push through that kind of leadership. Alana, talk to us a little bit about resilience. Talk to us a little about how you teach this to organizations, because it's one thing to embrace change, but it's another thing to thrive while you are suffering or while you are being miserable or while you are facing challenges, not just as an organization, but also as an individual.
Yeah, you pointed out a minute ago about the change and that change starts within, it starts with ourselves. Right. And so when it comes to how we respond to change, how we rebound from change, how we continue to be able to persevere through change, that is something that starts internally. We have to really build the emotional strength and the emotional agility to be able to go from one emotional state to another. And in a way, as you pointed out, in a way where you're still thriving, where you're still able to accomplish the results that you need to, right? If we correlate this to business and even in personal, I mean, as we're persevering, as we're demonstrating our resilience, we have to balance the energy that it takes for us to continue to thrive while still supporting those thriving around us. So when this happens personally, like for, and I lend an offer to my audiences, to my clients, a personal example of having to do that when I lost my oldest son to cancer, there was a very clear need to lean into my own resilience, to build my own resilience while also supporting the resilience of my family, of others who were also impacted by that. By that unfortunate circumstance. And and then realizing that as leaders in our organizations, we're always having to do the same thing. I started in energy and oil and gas, and the cyclical nature of that industry and of the economy, the world economy as a whole, requires resilience in leadership. And resilience is something that is so personal, but then it gets broadcast out to other people around us and as we model that.
And if that isn't the true measure of humanity, Is it not like learning or teaching others, supporting others while you are going through the storm yourself? And yeah. How can you teach? Because change doesn't choose, so to speak. You choose when to change, but the need to change, so to speak, just comes at you, right? And it comes at you in such a way that in moments that you don't expect, especially in moments that are probably filled with misery, probably filled with obstacles and challenges. But then you, Alana, you are teaching people to push through that kind of obstacles and those kinds of resiliency and adversity. And I know that one of the things you talked about that rebounding, right? You talked about the analogy of basketball players. They take in the rebound, they put it back on the court because, you know, that's the purpose. That's the first thing you want to try to do, but not just rebounding and trying to score again, but maybe thinking how you can pass on to others, how you can support others. And that, I love that analogy. And one of your keynotes, you mentioned that in one of your keynotes, you mentioned that the three P's that helps leadership change, which is you have to know your passion, you have to know your purpose, and you have to know your priorities. Could you talk to us a little bit about that and how that has helped change leadership in organizations?
Yes, absolutely. So thank you for that. I love the three P's. It starts, you know, with purpose. If yes. you're not purpose driven, if you're not aligned around purpose, so organizationally, right, we have to align around a purpose. And we need to all know what that is and buy into that. And personally, the same thing happens. We have to have a personal purpose that drives us, that helps keeps us moving forward. It is the key to resilience. Is having purpose means that we're continuing to move on to who we are going to be, and why we are here. Because our purpose is really about why we are here. And our passions, what is it that energizes us? What is it that motivates us? What is it that keeps us doing what we do, whether it's vocationally or what we do in the community? What are those passions? And then our priorities. How do we make sure that we're doing the right things in the right order? That we are putting first things first. And for many of us, for me in particular, first thing first is my family. I put my family first. And so when it comes to even, you know, life priorities, I prioritize my career decisions around what's best for me and my family. And organizations have to do the same thing. Prioritizing consistently, so purpose, passions, and priorities, that creates our catalyst, and that's what moves us forward all the time.
Fantastic. I love that. That really stuck with me. Passion, purpose, priorities. But it also ties back to what you said earlier, that it really all begins internally, right? Because that starts with you. If you don't know your priorities, you don't know your purpose, how are you going to lead people to their purpose? How are you going to lead people to change themselves? But you also have to have that passion of leadership, the passion to want to, you know, enact these changes. And I know, and you wrote your book, it's called What's Your Catalyst? The Power of Managed Change. I think that's a key word right there, managed change. It offers valuable insights into navigating change effectively. What are this? We mentioned the pre-piece, of course, but can you share anything else in that book that helps organizations navigate change effectively?
Well, yes, I use a framework within a framework, but I'll simplify it when we look at managed change. My motivation behind that was because I'd seen too many, you know, change initiatives just fizzle out, whether it's someone's personal development goals, whether it's organizational goals. Oh, this is what we're going to do this year. And then right? So having that and realizing the lack of sustainability around many goals, that's what really inspired that. And it really has to do with knowing yourself or knowing current state, if it's organizational, making a strategic plan. So being very strategic in the work that you do and the actions that you take, in the moves that you make.
Yes.
It's also, it's about keeping your focus. So ensuring that all of the chaos that can happen around us, and this ties back to the priorities, right? So it's knowing yourself, so current state, making a strategic plan, being very strategic in those movements, knowing your focus, keeping your focus, and then finally sharpening someone else. Because everything that we do, and again, ties back to purpose, this is why my subtitle is how purpose and passion can drive a strategic change. And it has to do with that what we've learned, when we learn it, we teach it. When we learn it, we teach it. We should be in a constant cycle of learn it, teach it, learn it, teach it. And as this happens, when we have a growth mindset, we develop that growth mindset in others. So we grow ourselves, we grow our teams, and we grow our organizations by doing that, because iron sharpens iron.
I love that. I love that analogy. First of all, iron sharpens iron. But if that isn't the purpose of what leaders do, learn it, teach it, you pass it on. You know, that's what leaders are to the core, and that's what they're supposed to be delivering to their organizations. But again, it all ties back to who you are individually. Are you leading that change in yourself as well? And these changes, I know you are very passionate about them. You are a passionate advocate for diversity, equity, and, you know, inclusion in STEM fields. You've paved the way for women leaders, not just for women leaders, but particularly women of color. How do you believe organizations can create more inclusion or inclusive environments and support, you know, support a more, does that lead to change? That is the question.
You know, one of the ways that they can do that is first and foremost acknowledging it. I am still, it still surprises me in 2024 that we have to sometimes remind people that that women and men are unique individuals. You know, when we think about our career path, if you look at the fact of not just childbirth, because then, you know, families can be grown through, through many ways, and it doesn't always require maternity leave, but the fact that that, you know, women are the primary nurturers in a family. I love when I see a family dynamic where either there's, you see such a much better partnership. We see much more of that. But just really acknowledging the unique challenges that women have, and the, certainly the intersectionality of women of color, and the fact that there are barriers to progress across those varying dimensions of diversity that have to uniquely be addressed. I consider the first week of Women's History Month to be Black Women's History Week, because you see the intersection of those challenges, and, you know, of course, coming out of Black History Month in the U.S. and into Women's History Month, and just really trying to focus the conversation on those, not just the challenges, but then on the solutions. How do we support those situations? What kind of mentoring are we putting in place? What kind of recruiting efforts are we putting in place? What kind of representation are we encouraging within our organization? Or are we are we stuck on the lie of a meritocracy?
And I love that. I wanted to make sure I asked this question to you, because on the research I was making, you talk a lot about this inclusivity for, you know, women of color. Where does that conversation stand right now, do you think? Do you think we have advanced it to a point where, you know, of course we cannot put our foot off the gas pedal, but do you think we've taken a step back? Do you think there needs to be more action into this? And do you need more leaders enacting that change when it comes to inclusivity of women of color?
Yeah, I mean, we certainly, there's, I don't think we'll ever reach the point where we say, oh, we have enough allies, right? We certainly need more allies. We need more people who are not within the community of women of color, who champion the cause of women of color, you know, because one of the ways that we really advance equity and inclusion for any community is ensuring that the advancements come not just from that community. I'm a strong advocate for other varying dimensions of diversity and other marginalized individuals to help make sure that their voice is heard, that their needs are met. And I think that when we collectively do that, and help ensure that we're all supported and valued and respected.
Of course.
I mean, then it begins to work itself out. But there's still lots of work to be done. There's been, you know, some backlash that we've been having to work through. I, as a change leadership expert, was not surprised by it, because that's what happens with change. There's resistance. There's pushback. And so one of the things that I really enjoy doing is really helping equip my clients to help to work through the backlash.
And that is a very important factor today, in having that skill to kind of you know, fight that backlash away, because like you said, with change of progress, there's going to be some pushback. People are going to be against that. So you need to have that resilience to go against that. I love that. And of course, that all ties back into your change leadership into organizations. How would you say is the state of leadership when it comes to organizations as far as inclusivity goes and as far as embracing change in general? Do you feel like it's more positive today than it was before?
Definitely. I think, you know, and I certainly can't say just myself, but I've seen, you know, several other talent developers is what I like to call it. You know, those who develop talent. I can't grow plants, but I grow people. Those of us who are in the people growing business have really been clear on the message that inclusion is a core competency of every leader. It used to be an elective, right? It was the other class that you take. Yes. Oh, we've got somebody coming in for D. Well, now it's more commonly understood that an effective leader is an inclusive leader. And at the end of the day, eventually we'll be able to drop the adjective or the adverb inclusive, because that should be then
exactly
part of the definition should be the norm. Of being a leader. You know, you were leading unique individuals, and that when we realize how individualized our strategies need to be based on the individual nature of the people that we lead, then we begin to really, you know, see the progress.
That is true. And, you know, like, it should be the norm, right? It shouldn't even be a term in organizations or everywhere else in conversations. But we aren't quite there yet. And I am glad that there are leaders like you who are also teaching leaders to enact this change, to embrace this change, which, speaking of, is your website, embracechange.com, right? Before we get into that and ask you where we can find you and where we can connect with you, Alana, what is the future looking like for change leadership and organizations? And most importantly, what are the future aspirations of Alana M. Hill?
Well, so I can be found at AlanaLeadsChange.com. Right. And, you know, on my website and through the resources that I provide, I really help people create a roadmap that is sustainable, right? So when we talk about one of the big challenges is, you know, starting something and not finishing it or shifting the priorities without understanding the impact. So this is where my engineering background comes in, because I love a good SWOT analysis. I love a good, you know, ensuring that we measure twice and cut once. So making sure that, yes, we know that the rate of change is going to continue. Technological advancements happen much, you know, quicker. Cell phone releases happen faster, software releases happen faster, but that doesn't mean that we should lose our ability to still move to the desired outcomes that we have for our teams and for our organizations.
That is such a wonderful way to put it, and what a wonderful way to sort of wrap this all up. How are you seeing yourself in the next few years, Alana? What are the dreams and goals that you would have, and something that we would look forward to when we connect with you?
So one is, you know, certainly making sure that not only my message, but also the strategies that I share, that I get to share them around the globe. I've always been a global citizen. I started my career at a multinational organization. So right in front of me is a world map. So you'll see me still around the world. I'm a globetrotter. I'm a global citizen. I want to be part of the change around the world. So that's one thing. You'll see I'm going to be releasing a new edition of my book, What's Your Catalyst? Oh, wow. So I'm excited about that. We've actually started that project. So just kind of making sure that we keep not only the strategies relevant, but updating it with new illustrations. And we've got some new case studies to include in there. So just great new thought leadership and ways of helping people lead change in themselves and others to build resilient, inclusive, and competitive organizations.
And a global change, it is definitely a global change indeed that you are spearheading. Alana, thank you so much for your time. Where can we connect with you? Are you active on Instagram, maybe on LinkedIn? Where can the audiences follow you?
The best place to find me and to talk to me is on LinkedIn. I am there constantly. I love having great conversations around, you know, how can we just kind of advance and improve and grow our corporate cultures? How can leaders grow themselves. And I'm also doing a lot of work with entrepreneurs as well, especially those corporate facing service providers, other consultants like myself. So I love supporting emerging consultants, those who've been established, helping them find best practices as well, helping us multiply our reach. So that's definitely one way.
All right. Hello. I am back. Yeah. I cut off a little bit there, but I'll have the editors edit that out. Alana, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your energy. And you know that I'd love to have you back on here and, you know, or follow you wherever you are in the globe. And I invite our audiences and listeners to do the same.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you for having us here. And to our audience and listeners out there, see you on the next one.
All right, so here's the thing. We try to get a little bit better every day, but we can't do it without you. So if you like the video, make sure to like and subscribe below. And if you have any comments, just leave them in the space under.